find ourselves right now in the midst of the 9 days. Hope everyone is handling the no meat okay. I know it feels like a pre-fast every single night trying to figure out what we're going to eat to make it through the night. At least in our house it does. Baruch Hashem, we're going to be able to make it through and it should be good. But we're right in the midst of the 9 days where we know Chazal famously teach us that any generation who have not yet brought the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if we've kind of destroyed it. And what this exactly means is subject to a lot of machlokas and a lot of discussion. And we all know the classic ideas that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam and we need to work on Achdus at this time. And there are many things that need to be worked on for all of us, obviously myself included. And there's tons that we need to do. And this is a great time for introspection, reflection, really a great time to kind of take an accounting of where we are and what we need to be doing better. And there's one midah I want to focus on today, which I think we can gain a lot from when it comes to the month of Av, and maybe can help us, at least personally, on our track towards helping the cause of bringing that Geula to eventually come. So when talking about some pre-Tisha B'Av Chizuk, I always like to look a little bit past Tisha B'Av towards what's going to come just 6 days later, which is Tu B'Av. And the Mishnah in Tainus famously tells us a very interesting thing. The two greatest days in our religion, now we have a lot of holidays and we have a lot of times for celebration, the two greatest days of our entire calendar are, says the Mishnah in Tainus, Yom Kippur, very good, and Tu B'Av. Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Now this is very strange. We can understand Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day where we get Slicha V'Chapara. It's a day where we get forgiven. We get a fresh start, a clean slate, something which is extremely valuable. Even though I once heard Charlie Harari talking about the fact that on Yom Kippur we are just thinking and grateful for the fact that we don't have to have the next Yom Kippur until another 364 days. So that's true. Yom Kippur is a difficult day, but it's a day where we achieve Slicha V'Chapara, we get the ultimate forgiveness. So I understand why that would be one of the two great days that we have. But the other day of Tu B'Av is very strange. What makes Tu B'Av so great? What makes it so impactful that it's considered one of the two greatest days that we have on our calendar? And the truth is that the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Lamed Aleph has a major machlokes as to what makes Tu B'Av so uniquely special. And there are a lot of opinions, many of them focusing around the Shidduchim and Shidduch crisis types of answers. This was the day where the women would go out, there'd be a big social event. This was the day that you were allowed to marry within the tribes. This was a big day in terms of Shidduchim. That's why there's the big Shidduchim push around this time, which is all really nice. But there was one Shita in the Gemara. There's one Shita of Rav Masna, which is very interesting and seems to give us a bit of a fascinating insight when it's really deeply analyzed. And Rav Masna explains, what makes Tu B'Av so great? What makes it so special? It is the day in which the Haruge Beitar were able to be buried. And not only that, says the Gemara, this was such an exciting day that the Chachamim in Yavne, the rabbis at the time in Yavne, they made a special bracha for this special occasion, the bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv. The bracha that we have nowadays, when someone has a baby boy, they make a bracha of Hatov HaMetiv. When someone brings better wine to the table, when you get a major gift that you're going to be sharing with the community, the most exciting bracha we may have in our set of brachos of Hatov HaMetiv was made on that day. Hatov, says the Gemara, that the bodies did not rot, and HaMetiv, that we were able to go ahead and bury these bodies of the Haruge Beitar. And it's because of this that Tu B'Av has the status of being one of the two great days that we have on our calendar. And the question is fairly obvious. The question is, that's really nice and it's a wonderful thing. We believe in burying the dead. It's a wonderful thing to do. And it's a tremendous mitzvah. But, I don't know, Purim's also really nice. Chanukah's nice. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. There are a lot of really nice days that we have on our calendar. What is being highlighted by this fact of the Haruge Beitar being able to be buried? What's so special about that? Why are we celebrating this day? What is this all about? And Rabbi Fran pointed out that we have to take a step back and look at the historical context in which this idea of the Haruge Beitar occurred. So let's see what happened. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and there's utter devastation amongst the Jewish people. It's a terrible time. Thousands are killed. Everyone is spread out across the world. It is a devastating time for the Jewish people. And there's one stronghold city left. There's one city left that has 95 pizza stores and 100 shawarma places. There's one big city left, and that's Beitar. And the Roman officers came in, led by Turnus Rufus, and they go and they destroy the entire place. And they massacre the people. Thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands. One Shita even says 1 million people were killed at this time. And the Jewish people had lost all hope. They thought that whatever relationship they had had with God beforehand was done. God had given up on our people. God had given up on the Jewish people. We were divorced, so to speak. We were done. Whatever connection we may have had was over. We had Chorban by Yesheni and then the Haruge Beitar. We were done. They come back a little while later, whoever's left. And they come back a little while later and they discover that the bodies are still there. Somehow, magically, miraculously, the bodies did not decompose and they are able to give them a proper burial, and it gave the Jews that glimmer of hope. We are not alone. Hashem is still with us. Yes, times are bad. Yes, things are not going our way. Yes, this is a difficult time, but Hashem is still there with us. And over here, Hashem was exhibiting one of his trademark traits, one of the trademark attributes that Hashem shows us over and over again, and that is the midah of Imo Anochi Betzara, where Hashem says, I am here with you in your pain. I am here with you. You are not alone. And this is not the first time Hashem has done this with us or Hashem has shown us this trait. In fact, the first time we are introduced, really, to Hashem, we see Hashem using this midah, this characteristic. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's going to be chosen to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem makes his grand entrance to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush. We all know that this was not just any bush, it was a thorn bush. Why a thorn bush? Why mitoch hasneh? Says Rashi, because Hashem wanted to say, Imo Anochi Betzara. The Jewish people are suffering. It's a very difficult time in Jewish history. I'm showing up in a thorn bush to show that I feel the pain as well. And even in the greatest day that we've had in our history, when we get the Torah, when we have Kabbalas HaTorah and the Jewish people get a glimpse of what the Shechina looks like, of what the throne of which, that which Hashem sits on looks like, and we see that on the bottom of the throne there's some bricks and sapphire. Why are there bricks and sapphire under the Shechina? What's Hashem sitting on? So Chazal explained that it represents the bricks that we were making in Mitzrayim, the bricks which we were beaten over, the bricks which the Mitzrayim were destroying us over. Hashem has those under His Shechina to show, Imo Anochi Betzara, you are not alone. Hashem is able to properly empathize with us. Hashem feels our pain and shows us that we are not alone. And we all know that there is a mitzvah of V'halachta Bidrachav. Just as Hashem does certain things, we need to do certain things. Says the Gemara, just as Hashem is Mevaker Cholim, Hashem visits the sick, we have to visit the sick. Just as Hashem helps those who are in need, we have to help those who are in need. And goes on and on and on. All of those are actions that we need to take, but the same thing would apply here. Just as Hashem is Imo Anochi Betzara, Hashem is able to properly empathize with people, so too we need to be able to properly empathize with people. But what can we do? It's a really nice thing to say. What are some practical applications, practical etzas, advice, that maybe we could do to live this idea of Imo Anochi Betzara? So there are two in particular. I guess we don't have that much time. So two in particular we want to highlight just today. Number one, we as human beings have a tremendous koach of imagination. We have a tremendous power of being able to imagine something. When the lottery gets to $300 million, because $20 million is not enough, when it's $300 million and everyone's imagining, oh, I know exactly what I would do with that money. I would get this house there, I'd get that house there, this, that. Maybe some people even spend the money already. We're ready for it. We know exactly what we would do with that money the second it comes into our possession. We have a tremendous power of imagination, and that's something we need to employ when doing chesed, when doing anything in our lives. Im kesef talva es ami, says the Torah, you're going to give tzedakah. Says Rashi, you need to not only just give the tzedakah, you need to imagine what it feels like to be in that position. When you're doing a chesed for someone, when you're doing something for someone, don't just do it. Imagine what it must feel like to be on the other side. This power of imagination, this koach that we have as humans, is there to help us be able to properly empathize. And number two, taking an extra sense of sensitivity. Now again, I'm talking to myself here, and being I'm in the Young Israel Forest Hills nowadays, and we have a young couples crew, a nice little young couples crew, and we have people who have been there for quite some time, and we have a really diverse crowd there, and it's something you get to see a lot in, I guess, the position which you're in. This extra small sensitivity, things that we could just say a little bit differently that make a tremendous impact. Many people don't act maliciously. No one's trying to offend anyone or anything like that. But there are certain comments that are made that without even knowing it, we cause other people some sort of distress. Something along the lines. If someone's talking to an almana and they're saying how long it's taking their spouse to get the groceries, or someone who's having difficulty having children and someone else is complaining about the fact they didn't sleep last night because their kid kept them up all night. What they would give to go ahead and have that tzara. Small things that we don't even realize, we don't even think about, and it's not our fault. No one's acting maliciously. But small things, just being extra sensitive to certain things. Someone's going to be Menachem Avil and saying, oh, you know why this happened? This happened because so and so. We don't know why things happen. We do our best to go ahead and serve God, but we can't properly predict why or how things happen. Just these small things of extra sensitivity can help us with this idea of Imo Anochi Bitzar. Now, again, as I've pointed out, I am no prophet, nor can I tell you if you do this, then this will happen. But Chazal come and teach. But it's not that I am a prophet. But Chazal do come and teach and say that if we do this midah, and if we really do practice this midah of Imo Anochi Bitzar, the reward is going to be immense. And that is both the spiritual reward and the physical reward. We know when we daven, we don't just daven for parnasa and health. Those are all extremely important things which we do daven for. But we also daven for hatzlacha in our Torah learning, hatzlacha in our avodas Hashem. That's something which is very important to us as well. So some Chazal come and teach an amazing thing. When it comes to the first Sanhedrin that we ever had, the first Sanhedrin that ever came into our people, who were these people that knew everything, that were able to judge all of these cases? Chazal teach us these were the managers at the time of Mitzrayim. The way it would go is the Mitzrayim would appoint certain Jews to rule over the other Jews, and when the other Jews did not meet their quota of bricks that needed to be made, the managers got beaten. And it was these managers that were on the Sanhedrin. Why? Chazal explained, because they lived this idea of Imo Anochi Bitzar. They were fighting for others. They were showing others, we are not alone. How did they get all this knowledge, though? Where did they have the time to learn 70 languages in Kol HaTorah Kula? So my friend wanted to explain that we see when it comes to this midah of Imo Anochi Bitzara, there's a tremendous koach of Torah, a tremendous koach of siyata deshmaya that comes with learning, that comes with spiritual growth. It's a tremendous koach that comes along with it. And additionally, there's a tremendous material success promise, I guess, so to speak. Baal HaTorah points out that there are two times in the Torah where the pasuk starts Uli Yosef and to Yosef. The first time is Uli Yosef Yulad Beterem, that's talking about when Yosef had his children. And Yosef had two children before the famine occurred, before the whole world went hungry. Why did he only have two children before? Then he didn't have any children during. Then Rashi points out it's because he did not want to be with his wife. He did not want to enjoy himself while the whole world was in suffering. Because Yosef HaTzadik had this idea of Imo Anochi Bitzara. Where is the other time that we start with Uli Yosef? So we say it over and over at Simchas Torah time. Uli Yosef Amar Mivorecha Sashem Arto Mimeget Shemayim Mimital Umitahom Rovetz Estachas. We're talking about all of the bracha and the material success that Yosef is going to have. Now, who is responsible for that success? Who's the reason? What's the reason why Yosef has this incredible material success? If you look further in the pasuk, it says, Uritzon Shochani Sineh. It was the will of the person who, or of the being that dwells in the Sneh. What's the Sneh that we were talking about a little bit earlier? The Sneh is referring to Hashem who came in the Sneh. Imo Anochi Bitzara, Hashem, who is in the Sneh. The Jewish people are suffering. Hashem comes in a thorn bush to show, I am with you. You are not alone in this pain. That Hashem, the Imo Anochi Bitzara Hashem. Uritzon Shochani Sineh, that's the same God that's going to give Mavorechas Hashem, Arto Mimeget Shemayim Mitao, Umitahom Rovetz Estachas. That is the same Hashem that is going to bring all of this material success. So as we come closer to Tisha B'Av, and there's so many midos and so many different things we can work on, achdus this, achdus that, and that's important. One particular midah, maybe, that can help us personally go towards the path of Ku'ula can be this idea of Imo Anochi Bitzara, making people feel that they are not alone, no matter what anyone is going through, being able to properly empathize with people, whether that be through imagination, through being extra sensitive and understanding the power of our words and the power of our comments. It can really go a long way. In Amir Tashem, we should be zocha to both the spiritual success and that promise that it will help us with our Torah learning, with our Avodas Hashem, and also the material success as well. And we should all be zocha that Tisha B'Av should not be a sad day for so much longer, and we should merit to see it as a moed in our days. Kanish?